Father, we love you, God. We honor you. Jesus, we thank you for coming to this earth for us, Father, to give us authority over sickness, over disease. Father, thank you for the promises of Scripture which ring true to us. Thank you that we can declare with boldness over our life health, wholeness, blessings, Father. We pray that we would understand and we would grab that with every part of us, and we would believe. We would have faith, and we would grab onto your promises, and we would reach out and take them, Father, that you've already given to us. God, we thank you for the victory you've brought us. God, we thank you that we live a life of victory. In Jesus' name. God, I pray that once again for those that are on holidays, Father, you would bless them. And Father, as they're watching right now, Father, we pray that you would encourage them as we are being encouraged through song and through words that we know are true about you, that you've spoken over us. Father, through the word that you've given us, God, and just through knowing that we are gathered here for Sunday church in person. So God, we pray you'll be with us, be with them. Give us a great Sunday together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thank you, music team. I'll let you guys escape before I get going too hard. So we're talking about boldness today. And boldness is, the whole series we're going to start on is called Be Bold. And we're starting with the Sunday called Amazing Boldness. And you know, I remember as a kid when we moved from Prince Albert to Lloydminster, going to our church in Lloydminster. And we used to sing this song called Be Bold. And it was Be Bold, and then you'd repeat, Be Bold, and then be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold, be bold. Be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. And then this is where I really love it. It says, I am not afraid. And then we'd repeat, no, 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 I am not dismayed. No way, because I'm walking in faith and victory. I'm walking in faith and victory, because the Lord thy God is, I'm really off key there and pitchy, is with me. I don't know if you've ever seen Frozen, but I got really pitchy there, so we'll just stop there. But we don't have to be afraid or dismayed, because we can be bold and walk a life of victory. Amen? Amen. And we're going to be walking the next few weeks, and we're going to be talking about some different stories from the book of Acts. So a little history on the book of Acts. Acts was written by Dr. Luke, a medical doctor, one of the disciples. And Dr. Luke essentially captured some of the highlights of the very first New Testament church, a gathering of people who believed in Jesus. One of the dominant features, one of the dominant themes of the book of Acts is unquestionably the theme of boldness, of being bold. And in fact, when you look at the results, they're so bold. There's miracles, there's more miracles in Acts. And miracles. And we're part of that Church of Acts, aren't we? So shouldn't we expect to see miracles and miracles and miracles? Shouldn't that be our expectation? Shouldn't we be coming to church and expect to see miracles? So then, what's the problem? See, I know lots of people ask themselves, why don't we see miracles today in our churches here in Canada? Like, why don't we see them the same way as we did in the book of Acts? I know these miracles happen. We know they happen in many places. And they happen in Canada. But for some reason, in the church today, we've gotten away from them being the normal. Haven't we? Now they're the extraordinary. They're the exception when we see a miracle. And it's like, no, that's not how it should be. We should not accept that. We should not accept that the miracle is the exception. We should be experiencing miracles every Sunday, every day of our lives, in fact. And what I think might be part of the answer or part of the problem is because we don't live with a bold faith. We don't live with bold actions. We don't live boldly. So what is boldness? Well, my definition of boldness is boldness is a behavior born out of belief. Boldness is behavior born out of belief, because what you believe determines how you behave, doesn't it? If you really believe that something's going to happen, you're going to act like it's going to happen. But if you don't, if you're like, oh, well, maybe it's going to happen. I don't know. Oh, I hope it happens. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to live a bold life. We just, as many of you know, we just recently sold our lake lot, our family lake lot up north. And we knew, I had actually in my heart felt God tell me it's going to be sold before July. And so I was telling people, I think I even told Mary and the music team a while ago, it's going to be sold by July. And sure enough, we were like 11th hour, the week, a couple days before the end of June, and we get a lady emails me and says, we're interested in your lake lot, can you call me? And I call her and she's like, yeah, so this is what we'll pay, we want it in the next couple days, can we make that happen? And it was sold, the paperwork was all signed before the end of June. And I could have said, well, is this really going to happen? But we were bold enough in our faith to say, yeah, it's going to be sold by the end of June. It's going to be sold and not our problem in July. And sure enough, it was. See, I believe, like I said, that boldness is a behavior that's born out of belief. And if you believe everybody's going to criticize you, you'll always be tentative, won't you? And if you're going to believe you're probably going to fail, you're going to start acting cautious, right? That's how we act. That's how we are as people. So if though you believe that the one true God is calling you, empowering you, leading you, equipping you, how are you going to act? Boldly. Pretty darn bold, I think. Why? Because boldness is a behavior born out of belief. And it's interesting that the Greek word that translates as boldness is parousia. And this word means more than just speaking. It means outspokenness. It means assurance. It means courage. It means confidence. It means to act without fear. And remember a couple weeks ago on my sermon where I talked about fear and those no fear shirts and no surrender shirts? We have to act without fear. Are we acting without fear? Are we living without fear? Or are we living with fear? No fear, right? I pray that's how you're living. So boldness. So we're going to start talking about boldness. And we're going to start talking with one of my favorite guys from the Bible, my buddy Peter. You all know Peter. He's sometimes was a little hot-headed. He liked to draw a sword and cut off ears. But Peter was a guy that was often characterized with bold intentions followed by timid actions. Peter did things like declaring boldly before Jesus, if all these losers turn their back on you, Jesus, I won't do it. I'm with you. I've got your back, Jesus. You remember that story? I'll never deny you, Jesus. I'm with you. I'll boldly stand beside you. And what happened before that day ended? Three times Peter denied Jesus, didn't he? Even to a little schoolgirl once. Like, come on, that's like Kayla coming up to me. Hey, aren't you with Jesus? No, I don't know him. She's seven. Eight. Seven. She's turning eight. Boy, I better stop. Right, though? Why would you be scared of a little girl? I'm scared of kids, yes, but why? Bold intentions followed by timid actions. But something happened to Peter. And I pray that the same thing happens to us and to you if you're not acting a life of boldness. See, when Jesus died and 3 days later rose, Peter encountered the resurrected Jesus. He encountered the resurrected Lord in John 21. And when Jesus is essentially saying, hey, you're forgiven, it's good, you're still on the team, go out, let it go, and be bold, and go take care of my sheep, Peter. Go take care of my people. Go share the gospel, Peter. And something like a switch flipped inside Peter, and all of a sudden, the guy who used to be timid and bold and scared is now bold. He went out and stood before this huge group of people, and he preached one of the boldest messages in history. And he said, you're a corrupt generation. You guys are messed up. You need to turn from your sins and repent in the name of Jesus Christ and be baptized. And what happened? That day, 3,000 people are saved. That's a bold thing to do, isn't it? That's bold. How does this guy that a couple days earlier was too scared to tell a little girl, that, yeah, I'm with Jesus. Now he's preaching to this huge group and getting people saved by sharing the gospel. And the New Testament Christian church just explodes, and Peter's bold and he's on fire, and they're believing God for big things. Are we believing God for big things? I believe we are. I pray we are. And so he and John were walking along one time, and they see this guy who'd been lame for 40 years. Now, for my kids, lame does not mean that he was lame like dad lame for 40 years. And if you're over 40, I'm not saying you've been lame, you're lame for 20 years or 30 years. No, he was lame. It's not like he was a lame movie. It was, he couldn't walk. He was lame, like drug a foot. I don't want to scratch this newly painted stage that Early did. I'll get a look later. So the guy for 40 years, imagine in our context, someone that's been in a wheelchair for 40 years or 20 years, and they walk up to this guy and say, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he does. And all of a sudden, that action stirs all this controversy because everybody around knew that this guy couldn't walk, right? It's not like it was uncommon knowledge that this guy couldn't walk. And he does. He's walking all of a sudden. And so some temple guards under the command of the Sanhedrin were sent to arrest Peter and John. And these guards brought them and put them in trial in front of the Sanhedrin. Now, what the Sanhedrin does is different than courts nowadays, right? Here's what the Sanhedrin would do. They'd put the guy in the middle. They're wearing all their fancy robes. If you've ever watched Passion of the Christ and how they're just in his face calling him out and yelling, that's what would have happened here. And they get in this big circle and they put this trial with the guys in the middle, and they're standing over him to try to intimidate him. And they just hurl questions and directions, and then they would decide the fate of the person that they're trying to prosecute. And they could either say, we're just going to beat you, we're going to imprison you, or we're going to kill you. So Peter and John are in the middle, and one person asked, by what name and by what authority did you do these things? And here's the boldness, the bold response of Acts 4:8. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, in other words, this isn't his power, but by the power of God, right? He said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Now here comes the bold part. Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by what? By what? So he's not going to hold back. He's healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazarene. Of the Nazarene, sorry. And then he's going to take that knife and he's just going to twist it a little bit for effect. And he says, the man that you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. That's a pretty good slap to the face to these guys. See, I can't tell you how bold that was. Like, it sounds like a bold statement, but it's huge. See, the Sanhedrin, they hated Jesus. They were glad he was gone. They never wanted to hear from him or about him again. And the foundations of their beliefs were that the resurrection was impossible. They didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead. So my buddy Peter, he points right at the people who had the power to kill him, and he says, you killed Jesus, but he's back. He's raised from the dead. And he made that sort of a declaration of war almost to them. And remember how we declared war a few weeks back when we talked about declaring war. When we go on the offensive, when we start pressing in, that's a declaration of war against the enemy. And that's what he did here. So now what's really interesting to me is that 2,000 years ago, when the Sanhedrin was around, what name was so controversial? Jesus, right? And even today, the name of Jesus causes controversy with unbelievers and with the unchurched people, with people that don't know him. I think about this for a second. In our world today, You can be bold about all sorts of things, and that's fine. Everybody likes their little God talk, their little spirituality talk, but when you bring Jesus into it, we can't go there. I remember watching Oprah once. I watched Oprah once, maybe twice. But she was always give her little, or Dr. Phil, and you can talk about the higher power all day long. And yeah, that's good, that's interesting, it's great. But when you start talking about the resurrected Jesus, boy, do things get real. As soon as you say Jesus, everything changed. And I remember even asking to say the blessing at and say grace to pray at Husky Christmas parties in the past. And I said, so what can I say? Whatever you want. Whatever I want. You can pray anything you want. So that at that moment, I was like, yep, sign me up. Also, I got a free meal out of it. But I got to pray the Christmas blessing for all of my employees, my coworkers, the CEOs of the company, the senior vice president, senior executive are all there, and I get to pray and give a little mini sermon about the birth of Jesus in my prayer. And I got some looks when I started talking about Jesus and his birth and thankful for him and the opportunity to know him. I've been to events where people pray blessings and they're like, oh, great spirit. Oh, great tree in the sky. I don't know, but they can't pray the name of Jesus because there's authority and power in the name of Jesus. There's something about that name. And so Peter points right at them and says, Jesus, the guy that you killed, he's back. He's back. And the religious leaders couldn't believe what they were seeing. And in verse 13, it shows us their response. We got verse 13. The members of the council. So what were they? They were what? They were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. For they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scripture. They also recognized them as the men who had been with Jesus. So for the rest of this morning, I wanna focus on this one verse. This is really our verse that we're gonna hit home today. We're gonna break it down into three bold facts. And they're three simple bold facts, but they're pretty good facts to give us good reminders. And I pray that these drive truths into our hearts. So the first fact is this: God gives ordinary people extraordinary boldness. He gives regular Joes like us when we become saved this boldness because the Spirit comes in us, doesn't he? And we're no longer ordinary. We become extraordinary when we become followers of Jesus. So let's look at it again. Let's look at that scripture. It says, the leaders could see, the members of the council could see, they were amazed that these guys were ordinary men. They were amazed because they could see. No special training. Ordinary men. Now the Greek word translated for ordinary, you know what that word is? Idiotas. The word can mean unlearned, it can mean unschooled, it can mean dumb, stupid, but really the word, literal translation of this word, is the word idiot. Sorry. And we put it sometimes as just too polite, like ordinary guys. No, they were with these Sanhedrin, the holy guys, the educated guys, consider these guys idiots. And they couldn't believe, they were amazed at the boldness of these couple of idiots. I'm being blunt with you guys here. But here's the deal. God can take you, if you would consider yourself an ordinary, or if you consider yourself an ordinary guy, and when you accept him into your life, and when you start walking in that faith and victory that tried to sing for you. And when we start walking with that, we become extraordinary in Jesus' name. And he specializes in using the regular guys as the world would see it and uses them to be extraordinary. Thought number two, your boldness will amaze the world. So when you become spiritually bold for the glory of God, your boldness will amaze the world. Your boldness will amaze the world. It should amaze the world. If your boldness in life as a believer is not amazing the world, you're doing something wrong. We should be able to live a life of boldness. We should be living boldly. We should be making declarations and promises from Scripture and boldly saying them over our lives. Should we not? Well, not, oh God, if you want me to have it. God, if you would be so kind to heal me. You know, that's not how it goes. We pray as on earth as it is in heaven. On earth or in heaven, is there sickness? Is there disease? Is there poverty? Is there lack? So we should have none of that on earth, should we not? So then why don't we live boldly like that? Our boldness should amaze the world. And verse 13 says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness. They were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Why were they amazed? Because they knew that they could kill these guys, and these guys didn't care. They were like, wow, this is crazy. It's amazing. I like my voice crack there. So here's a question I want to ask you. When was the last time someone was amazed by your boldness? When was the last time? I don't want to hear answers right now. That's a rhetorical question for you to take home and think on. And if you can't think of a time, then maybe you're doing something wrong. And maybe you need to do something about it. Do you know a group of people who are bold? Kids are bold. Kids can be bold. Kids are very bold. Did you know that? Not always to adults, but with their friends, they are bold. And I have a little example for you. Is my business card pile out at the back desk there that nobody here takes and hands out. My kids, my son Cohen, will take a big stack of business cards, and when he's at school, he's giving them to his friends, inviting them to church, telling them to come to church. When we have a movie night, he's giving them a business card. Here's your ticket to come. Come hang out with me at church. How many of us are saying, come hang out with me at church? Here's the card. Come talk to Pastor Dave. Get a coffee. Come hang out with me and get a coffee at church. Right? Here's our website where you can watch the service online. Are we bold enough to even go to that little step? So maybe you're one of the people that say, well, I'm not bold. I'm a little nervous. I'm scared. I'm this, I'm that. And some of you may say, I'm not that. So what do I do? How do I change that? Well, that will lead us to point number three. And what's point number three? Spiritual boldness comes from knowing Christ, doesn't it? Yes. If we don't know Jesus, how can we be spiritually bold? And the second side of that question is this. If we know Jesus, why the heck aren't we being spiritually bold? We need to know that spiritual boldness comes from knowing Christ. Boldness comes from knowing Christ. When we are spiritually bold, we have a relationship with Jesus and we know Jesus. And at the end of verse 13, what does it say there? We'll read the whole thing, I guess. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the Scriptures. They also recognized them as what? As men who had been with Jesus. As men who were with Jesus. As men who were followers of Christ. So how in the world could Peter stand in the face of possible death and declare what he did? He knew Jesus, and he could be bold because he had been with Jesus. See, here's the key you need to remember. Boldness is not the goal. It's not the goal. It's a result. It's a byproduct of knowing Jesus. But knowing Jesus is the goal. Walking with Jesus is the goal. Because when you're walking with Jesus, you can be bold. And it's like we talked even about during the lockdown, we talked about when we can come into the throne room of Jesus and when we are of God and we approach God. It's not just Dave that's approaching God, it's Dave and Jesus. And I can come in boldly, can't I? Boldness is a byproduct of knowing Jesus. And when you spend time daily in God's word, when you spend time praying every day, God direct me, God give me people to minister to, God give me opportunities to show your love. When you live like that, you're directed by the Spirit, and you're going to see opportunity after opportunity and after opportunity to what? To be bold. To be bold, to live a bold life, because you've had time with Jesus. See, we need to do four things to get to know Jesus, don't we? And to grow in our boldness. First off, we need to put in the time. You need to put in the time. You need to spend time with Jesus. And when you spend time with Jesus, it leads you to number two, which is faith. And as your faith in Jesus grows, it leads to more boldness. And as your boldness grows, it leads to results. And you start seeing things change in your life, don't you? And when you start seeing things change in your life, what's going to happen? You're going to want to spend more time with Jesus, aren't you? And as you spend more time with Jesus, what's going to grow? You're going to get more faith. And what's going to grow from there is your boldness. And then you're going to see more results. And it's a never-ending loop. When you want to live a life of boldness, you need to spend time with Him. You need to spend time with Jesus. But the opposite of is true of all this too, right? Did you know that? When you're not spending time with Jesus, how do you grow your faith? When you're not spending time in His Word to understand and know His promises of Scripture for you, how do you grow your faith? You can't. And so when you're not growing your faith, how do you grow in boldness? And how do you see results? And what I want to say is, I want us to refuse to be a half-hearted, lukewarm church. I want us to grow in our faith. I want us to grow in our boldness. I want us to see results. I want us to see people in wheelchairs standing up and walking. Amen. It's possible. It happens. So why isn't it happening here? We need to spend some time with Jesus. We need to let our faith grow. We need to let our faith rise up. We need to be a real deal church that just falls in love with Jesus and allow it to overflow with a spiritual boldness and faith that grows and grow with a love and compassion for people who don't know the joy of Christ, who want to know the joy of Christ, who want to grow in their faith. We need to be that type of people, don't we? I pray that you want to be that type of people. I pray that as a church we want to be that type of people that allows our boldness and our faith and the time we spend with Him to grow and see results, see people rise up and walk within our walls, see people healed, see the lame, not just lame dad, but lame people walk, see people that had a limp or had a bad back or whatever it is, people that had cancer, tumors shrink in Jesus' name, because we've spent the time and we've done the things and we've walked in the promises of Scripture. Today we're just scratching the surface of this, guys. We can't deep dive in 40 minutes on everything today, but this is the scratch of the surface to start this series. And I pray that you want to be stirred, and we want to be stirred as a church. So let's be stirred together. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I really want us as a church to know you more. I pray, God, that our boldness is our byproduct of relationship with you. And guys, I'm going to give us an opportunity. If that's you, I want you just to agree with us in prayer. So God, we thank you today for those who want to make a bigger difference, who want to have a greater boldness, a greater level of faith in their life, Father. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would lead us and that we would be people that would walk by faith and we would be people that walk boldly by faith, Father. That we wouldn't need to see, but we would know. Father, based on your promises, based on your word, based on Scripture, Father, we would know the good things that are in store for us and that are coming, and we would put to action that those scriptural promises, that we wouldn't just sit idly by, but we would spend time with you and know and walk forward boldly. God, I thank you that if we're ones that are living like Peter before we had an encounter with the resurrected Jesus, that you would change us and that we would have an encounter with the resurrected Lord and that we would be different, that we would carry a different presence with us and that we would go forward boldly, Father, we pray that you would help us be bold. Help us be a bold church that shares your gospel. Help us be a bold church that sees miracles each and every day. Father, that we wouldn't wonder, but we would expect. And we would believe and know. Father, we love you. God, we honor you. Father, give us a good day and just allow us to press in with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, guys, what we've been doing every Sunday the past quite a while is we've been giving an opportunity to people, whether it be online or whether it be here in the room, if they don't know Jesus or they want to say, hey, kickstart my butt. I want to know Jesus in a bolder way and live in a bolder way. And so I need to know more. I need to know more. So if that's you, we're going to ask you to repeat after me. If you're watching online and you want to accept Jesus, you want to cross that line from knowing about Jesus to knowing Jesus and become a believer, we're just going to pray together. So if you know Jesus already in this room, I'm going to ask that you guys do what our music team did and just repeat after me, just quietly under your breath. So if somebody else is here that doesn't know Jesus, we feel comfortable to do it, okay? And if you're online in a room somewhere with a group of people and you already know Jesus, just repeat, just so if they're a new believer and they're uncomfortable, it just helps them out. So let's just pray together. If you want to become a believer, just pray this prayer with your heart. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Jesus, I invite you into my heart. Jesus, wash me clean. Make me new. Connect me with you. Holy Spirit, lead me, direct me, guide me. Thank you for forgiving my sins and bringing me closer to you. Father, give me opportunities to connect with a church and believers who will teach me boldness and walk with me in boldness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, talk to me, message us on Facebook, message us on YouTube, message us online, email, call, whatever, we'll answer. And we want to give you a Bible if you've never prayed that prayer. If you don't have a Bible and you want a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. I've got Bibles still in my office, and I'll get more if I need to. If I had to give away the last 12 Bibles I have, I'm glad to give them away today if we had 12 people that want to read it. So we're excited to give those Bibles away. Guys, let me pray with you. And let me get you on your way to being a blessing and being bold in your life today. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your boldness that you give us, Father. I praise you and thank you, Father, that when you came into our lives, that you took us from ordinary to extraordinary. Father, that we are no longer idiotos, but we are known and we know you, and we are blessed by you, Father, when we know you and we accept you into our heart. God, we thank you that we can be a blessing to others. We can be bold in front of others that don't know you and with each other, God. I pray that you would encourage us, lift us up, give us a great week, and give us opportunities to share your love. Father, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, guys. You have a great week. God bless, and we'll see you next week, okay?